Good morning. Got your Bible handy? You want to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and down around verse 9. Going to look at a couple of verses there, verses 9 and 10. In this message, I've entitled A Prayer for Ministry. This is coming toward the conclusion of my series, Learning from the Classics, a series of favorite Old Testament passages of mine, and certainly I hope as this series continues that they become favorites of yours as well. You know, when beginning a new job, a few things are essential. You may think of others, but these are needed to be an effective employee. You need resources. Resources are needed for performance. Responsibility is needed for jurisdiction, that area that you have control of. Authority in order to gain the needed access in order to do the job. And support to deal with any opposition that may arise in the course of doing the job. Most Christians, most of God's servants, want to be effective in ministry. Let's look at what has become known, mainly because of recent culture, because of Bruce Wilkerson's book, The Prayer of Jabez. Let's take a look at the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Jabez was of the tribe of Judah, which itself speaks of praise. His mother apparently had a difficult labor and gave him a name which in Hebrew is distress or pain. We know nothing else about Jabez because this is the only mention of him in the Bible. He had the heart of an evangelist, and he prayed that God would grant him success in his endeavor of ministry. Again, Jabez's name is sorrow and is reminiscent of Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Great concern for the lost, even sorrow for their sin state, and lack of eternal hope without Jesus Christ is the true heart of evangelism. Any effective ministry of any type, whether it's evangelism or another ministry area for the Lord, in God's plan of the ages, depends on His support. And Jabez's prayer was granted. How does the Lord's support result in effective ministry? I believe Jabez's prayer reveals four expressions of God's involvement in effective ministry. We can look at Jabez's petitions, the four parts of his prayer, which God answered yes. And we can see His involvement, God's involvement in ministry. First, God's involvement is expressed by His blessing. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, down to about verse 11. What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Jabez asked for a bigger blessing. The heart of God is to give good gifts to His children. And Jesus Christ encouraged us to ask the Father. It is divine blessing to receive provision to accomplish God's plans, the tasks which He assigns us in ministry. Look at Nehemiah when he went back to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, to rebuild the city. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, "Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work." Listen, let me encourage you. Spend some time with the Lord to evaluate your ministry desire against God's blessing to see His provision for the assigned tasks. How is God supporting? How is God blessing the ministry task that He gave you, the ministry calling that you have? How has He provided for that? How has He blessed that? Spend time and consider that. God's involvement is expressed by His blessing. Second, God's involvement is expressed by His expansion. Oh, that you would enlarge my territory. The Apostle Paul was always faced with this, a desire to expand the ministry, to spread the gospel, to start new churches further out. Jabez is asking for his ministry to grow, for his territory to enlarge. Acts chapter 16, we see a picture of Paul in action. Verse 6 down to verse 10 of Acts 16. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Notice Paul's plan versus God's plan. The apostle wanted to hit a few towns in the same general area of the Middle East where he was operating in ministry. God was opening up the way to take Europe with the gospel. God is the one who changes ownership of things, both physical and spiritual. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Look at the verses leading up to the passage that we're looking at in the prayer of Jabez. Look at verses 4 through 8, just immediately before. And Penuel was the father of Gedor, and Ezer was the father of Husha. These were the sons of Ur, the firstborn of Ephrathah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Helah and Nara. Nara bore him Ahuzam, Hefer, Temani, and Hahashtari. These were the sons of Nara. The sons of Helah were Zereth, Zohar, and Ethnan. And Koz begot Anab, Zobabah, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And then if you jump over to the other side of our two verses on Jabez, to verse 11, Chelub, the brother of Shua, begot Mahir, who was the father of Eshton. Eshton begot Bethrapha, Paseah, and Tehenah, the father of Ir Nahash. These were the men of Rekah. And it goes on with the ancestry. In fact, the first nine chapters of the book of First Chronicles, and our passage on Jabez is right in chapter 4, but the first nine chapters of First Chronicles is Israel's genealogy. It is a seemingly endless list of lineages with little narrative sprinkled in here and there. But the Holy Spirit has recorded Jabez's personal ministry prayer and the fact that the Father granted his requests. Don't miss all that. In the middle of this just long line of begats, this lineage and this genealogy, you got these two verses right in the middle of here talking about Jabez's ministry prayer and God's answer, his granting it. This prayer could apply to many areas of a believer's life, not just physical territory, as this seems to be in the case of Jabez. We can ask for the lost souls of Canton, of Baltimore, of Maryland, and beyond, to the end of the earth. We're not called to force open a door that God is not opening, as the Apostle Paul was doing until he received the vision of the Macedonian man calling him. I remember when we were in seminary, the thing about seminary is that it's graduate school. So many of the students are married and have families, have children. And so, and many of them have to work and hold jobs. And taking care of a family and going to school full time and even working a job, that's tough. And it's tough to make ends meet. Joanne, for the first year, into the second year that we were at seminary, Joanne had this desire to have, well, what we call the bread ministry. Just some kind of ministry that she could do, that we could be involved in, that could help the students a little bit, help them save a little money. And it didn't seem to be doing much of anything. She went to a few supermarkets looking for what they were doing with their bread. Many of them were just throwing it in the dumpster. And it just didn't seem to be going anywhere. She couldn't seem to get anything of what she wanted. We used to drive 45 minutes to go to church on Sunday and then drive back, obviously, after church. And on the way back, we would drive by two supermarkets that were right next to each other. And on one Sunday on the way home, we stopped because we needed something for our meal when we got home. So we stopped to buy a couple of items. And this is how God works. We went into the store, and as we were in there buying those couple of items that we needed, Joanne noticed that at the back of the store, going out to the dock area, there was 6, 8 or more shopping carts full of bread and pastries and other kinds of baked goods. And she asked the manager what they do with that. And they said, well, we throw it in the dumpster now. We used to give it to a food bank, a ministry, but they stopped coming to get it. So we just put it in the dumpster. He said, well, can we take that? Because, and then she told where we were, that we were a student seminary, and we wanted to help out some of the seminary students. And the manager was just happy to be able to do that, because they used to give it away like that. So we took everything in those carts, filled up we had a Suburban that we used to drive, and we had it filled up, just packed the windows. You couldn't even see in because of all this stuff packed in there with all of our children. And down the street, Joanne wanted to stop at the other store. Went in there and asked about the day-old or, you know, the expired baked goods, breads. And that manager, they only had a little bit, but that manager said, okay. So, we took it. And this became our routine for at least the next year and a half to the end of our seminary time, where Joanne took on and developed this ministry. It wasn't to give it out to homeless or people. The whole goal of it was to help out the seminary families to, you know, lower some of their cost of living. And every Sunday, on the way home from church, we would stop at these two stores, pick up all of the stuff that they had, and they would keep it there for us. And we'd get back at our home, we'd eat our lunch, and then after we finished eating lunch, we would then sort out the bread, and we would divide it into 6 shares. And Joanne had enlisted and had 6 other seminary students who would come over and get each of their 6 shares. And they had their own network of a couple of few students who would further distribute things. And every Sunday, all of that day-old bread and pastries and bakery goods would get distributed throughout the seminary to those families who had the need. And we did this for that last year and a half that we were there at the seminary every Sunday. And before we left, when we were getting ready to graduate, Joanne brought in one of those people who were the distributors and showed her what we did, and that person, it was actually a couple, they took over the ministry when we left. We have no idea how long it lasted after that, but it was a desire to expand ministry. God did it and developed it in His timing, and He granted Joanne's request to have that expansion of ministry. God wants to He wants ministry to occur, and He wants to answer the prayers of those who would do His ministry. Third, God's involvement is expressed by His presence. Oh, that your hand would be with me, Jabez said. And he prayed. Well, that sounds kind of familiar, that promise that God made to the church. In Matthew 28, verse 16, down to verse 20, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. God promised to be with His servants in ministry. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, which was the third thing that Jabez asked of God. He was dependent on God in the process of stretching and developing ministry. He looked to God for His strength, His presence, and His guidance. Be sure, listen to me, be sure you are open to the Holy Spirit's use in kingdom work. Let me ask you, are you an available, usable vessel? Are there any issues of sin to deal with in your life? Well, back up just a little bit at that point. I need to ask you, is Jesus your personal Savior and Lord? Because you see, we all come the same way. And obviously, if we're doing ministry work, that work is assigned to Christians. But we all come the same way. Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? Romans 3:23, the Apostle tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God gave us the gift of eternal life, and He did it by Jesus Christ. And what is that all about? Well, God was motivated. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave His Son. That's how He gave us eternal life, by His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave His Son. And how did He do it? Well, He expressed His love. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ went to the cross, took the punishment for our sin that we deserve. The wages of sin is death. That's not just a physical death, that's a spiritual death. That is an eternity apart from God in hell as punishment for our sin. And Jesus took our place and paid the penalty for our sin on the cross of Calvary. And He did it because God loved us. And God wants us to spend an eternity with Him in heaven rather than being punished in hell for our sin. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died? Then with conviction, confess that. He died and He rose from the dead. And because He rose from the dead, He can give us victory over death. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. Then all we have to do out of that conviction is to ask God to forgive us and grant us eternal life. Romans 10, 13, for all or whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is Jesus Christ, your personal Savior and Lord. And then fourth, God's involvement is expressed by His protection. Oh, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. That sounds also very familiar. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus said, in this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God cares for His servants amidst Satan's opposition to ministry. Think of the past examples of Joseph, David, Daniel, Peter, Paul. There is much opposition to God's work. There's much opposition to the gospel message by Satan's evil schemes. I told you to check and consider with the Lord His provision and His blessing on the ministry that He's called you to. Well, I call you now to consider in fellowship with the Lord your ministry, your efforts in evangelism or other areas of ministry. Are you enjoying His support? Are you enjoying His protection from the enemy? Jabez understood that his prayer carried risk. As his ministry increased, and this is for all leaders to be concerned about. As his ministry increased, the risk of falling into the sins of pride and the love of power would also increase. And so Jabez prayed wisely in humility that he would not be a source of sorrow. This part of Jabez's prayer demonstrated that his motivations came from a genuine heart for the good of others and not just his own well-being. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, 32. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Check your motives. Are you serving God, or are you serving just your own ego? God, it then says, granted him what he requested. God honored Jabez by giving him what he asked for in prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Jabez prayed for himself, his own development. God blessed him after a direct request for more. Does this mean God will answer every specific request for more? Well, someone may seek something that's simply for selfish gain. What they want may harm them or others. His prayer does not reveal that when there are good motivations, not to cause harm, and a dependency on God's hand for strength and protection, his prayer reveals that then God is ready to answer prayers like that for more, for a greater ministry. Well, let me ask you, have you prayed in the past for your own success? How did God answer that prayer? We must be sure that the prayers we pray are not just for our own self-development, but are godly according to His revealed will. Greater success, bless me. Greater influence, enlarge my territory. Greater power, the hand of God, the touch of God. Greater protection, keep me from evil. And God granted his request. What a powerful prayer for ministry. One that each one of us, with humility, sincerity for God's will, can pray and expect God to answer. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that we have this little narrative of Jabez and his prayer, and that you answered it according to his request for your blessing, for the growth of his ministry, for your presence with him as he goes about ministry, and for your protection. Father, may that be our heart as we seek our ministry to grow, when we seek our ministry to expand. And Father, I just place this before you, and that everyone who's listening and watching this message would have that heart that Jabez had. And Father, we just thank you and give you all the praise and all the glory for what you do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.